Hey, I've got a secret on the More Faith, More Life podcast today that I'm going to tell you about that's going to help you succeed in everything you do. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm excited to tell you one of the secrets that's going to help you succeed with God and in your life and family, everything. It's something that people just don't get, and I want to give it to you today to help you. But first, I want you to say hello to Kathy. Kathy's with us again today, and we're going to talk about God's government today, Kathy. And a lot of times people don't realize that God has a government, right?
Right.
And so we're going to talk about that, but the increase, what happens, how to get it, how to walk in it. And so many people, they read the Bible, they go to church, they believe in God, but there's not God activity in their life, right?
Right.
And you've probably seen that in your own self, where it's going along and all of a sudden, like, where's God? All of a sudden, Seems like the airways are quiet. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, that has happened to me. Just like, where are you, God? Or there's a brass heaven, or nothing's happening.
And It happens to everybody at some time or another, but we don't know what to do about it, or we don't know why it happens. And I want to help us today understand why that would happen to us. So let's go to let's back up a minute. We're heading into holiday season, here.
Yes.
And one of the scriptures from, I'm going to let you read it and say it, is from Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It's one we ever get around, especially Christmas time. We sing it, we say it, we talk about it. And what is that scripture, Isaiah 9?
Yeah, and it is so rich. Yeah. Isaiah 9 talks about that the government will rest on his shoulders, meaning Jesus' shoulders.
Yeah.
The government will rest on his shoulders, and of its increase there will be no end.
And in this subject, it's talking about that Emmanuel, because that means what's
God with us, God in the flesh,
God
with us, people.
Yeah, I said it the other day at our church, and I'm going to keep saying it. I say it all over the world, and I this boat needs to be rocked. I'll tell you that right now, because a lot of people, they think, in terms of, I've said probably on this podcast, I've said it before too, where you go to 100 pastors and ask them what the good news is, 99 of them anyway, if I'm standing there, it'll be 99 and I'll be the 100th one, we'll say, well, the good news is Jesus came, died for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that when we die, we can go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven. Do you know how many false statements are in that statement? First of all, we're not going to spend eternity in heaven. I've had pastors come up to, they came up to me before I was a Christian. Do you know, if you were to die, would you spend eternity in heaven? Well, people, and all of a sudden they're trying to answer that question. But the real smart ones would be the ones that said, no, I don't know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, because no matter what you say or do, I'm not going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm going to spend eternity on this earth. That's the victory over humanity, Kathy.
Yes.
Is that God has won. Jesus has won the victory, and we don't have to go someplace else. We're going to be victorious right on this earth, the earth that crucified him, the earth that his blood came down that cross and, spilled droplets of blood on that dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like total defeat of the Messiah of the world. The world killed him, they murdered him, his blood was shed, body beaten, thrown into a tomb. So what's the victory? See, we don't have to go anywhere. God's got the victory. The victory's going to be, we're going to come back on that same dirt. Jesus is going to stand on that same earth. We're going to rule and reign with him. So so we believe in heaven, right? If you die, you're in Christ, you believe. There's a place called heaven that the Bible sometimes calls them saints, but believers go until such a time that Jesus is going to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth. But it's not just on earth, because earth's going to become new. What else is going to become new?
Us.
And heaven.
Heaven and earth.
And us.
And us.
Everything comes together.
Yeah.
It's like heaven's not over there and God's will is done there and all the saints are there. And over here is the messed up earth that crucified Jesus. Boy, I'll be sure glad we get out of here. We're not here anymore. No, I'm going to fix this whole thing. I'm going to defeat my enemies. I'm going to bring heaven to earth. I'm going to bring earth to heaven. And I'm going to put you, Jesus, the Messiah, right in the middle of it. And we're going to serve and rule reign with him.
Yes.
Now, that's why it's so important that we say Emmanuel with us. The good news is what then? Let's back up. What the angel say? Behold, I bring you
good tidings.
Great news. Of good news.
Great joy.
What was the good news? To you is born this day a Savior. To you, Kathy.
Yes.
That day, to you, Kathy, and those listening, a Savior was born that day on earth. And the good news was God has come down in the form of a Savior mankind to save us of our sins and to establish his kingdom. So the whole good news was God came down. The good news is not God went up. Well, Jesus did go up, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And as he's going up, what did he say is going to happen?
Hey, the angel appeared and said, quit looking up, because the way you see him going up, he's going to be coming back down.
In the exact same way he went up, he's coming down. All right, now why are we saying all that? It's because when they said, Emmanuel, God is with us, and then the angel said, and the government shall be on his shoulders.
Yes.
That means governing is on his shoulders. I better not try to have it on mine. I'm going to do crisscross, mixed up, everything. You know, it's like you ever played tic-tac-toe with somebody that knows how to win every time? You can figure out how to win every time, right?
Well, you know.
If you start right and do it.
My three-year-old granddaughter
knows how to win every time. Right.
She sets it up the right way, and she always fools Grandma.
She can win every time.
Every time.
And like all of a sudden, like, what? Once you figure it out, you can win every time. Yeah. That the government is on his shoulders. And now we don't want to stop there, because I think a lot of people could handle that on his shoulders. But and the increase of his government will know no end. The increase is going to increase. It's on his shoulders. And what's happening with him, it knows no end. Now, what would that say to somebody that wants to tell us, well, you know, things are going to get so bad here on the earth, and the devil's going to take over, and it's going to be terrible, and tribulation, and death, and blah blah, but we'll go out of here. So that means the government goes with us. The government's going to leave, and he's going to give the government over to Satan. A lot of people believe that. You don't teach that. I'm not too comfortable with that when I read this scripture, because the increase of his government will know no end. I like to put it this way. It'll also know no exit.
Yes.
It doesn't exit. Doesn't have to. Listen, when the government's on his shoulders, he's leading everything, why would he have to exit and give it to somebody else that's lower than him, an inferior?
Never.
Why would he give it to an inferior devil when he's already defeated the devil? And so now what we want to do is the government, here's the secret, okay? The government is on his shoulders, and it is an ever-increasing government. That's why I wanted them to know that, because you get into God's government. If you can get yourself into working within God's government, you're going to get yourself, Kathy, into working in the increase. You're going to have a life of increase. Now, I don't have to tell you that, because we've had such a great life. Has not our life been a life of increase? It hadn't stopped yet.
No,
we're still increasing.
Yes.
But we're in a government that's increasing. We're not trying to increase. I'm not trying to increase. I'm not telling you, Kathy, you better get with it and give me some increase.
Right.
You just get into the government of God, and where his government is increasing. And one thing, I got another scripture up here. Read 1 Corinthians 14.
Yes, and it really describes the increase of his kingdom and what his kingdom, how it is when it's in our lives.
Yeah,
and
how it operates.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace.
Right. I love that scripture.
God
has an order. There's God's order. That's his government. There's an order to things. You know why Satan, who was Lucifer at the time, why he got kicked out of heaven, is he bucked up against God's order. See, God had his order, but if you'll listen, if you'll read what was going on then in Isaiah, you'll see that while the government of God is operating and everybody's got their place, everybody's happy, everybody's serving, he's not happy. He says, I don't want to sit where I'm sitting. I want to sit over there. I want to sit in the highest seat. I will raise myself up and I will sit on that throne. So he bucked up against God's order. Well, you know what happened to him. He got kicked out. He's not in it anymore. Now he's on his own trying to lead his own order. It's so funny too, Kathy, that Satan, when he became, you know, tossed to the earth, you know what he did as soon as he, this is my opinion. Okay, just my opinion. As soon as he got here, you know what he did? Set what? Up an order with yeah. him at the top. That's what he wanted. He wanted, but so he got kicked out. So he just, but he copied God's order. He put himself at the top like God, and then he filters down the powers, principalities, workers of darkness, demons, and all that just filtered down. And so now he's got a copy order, you know, and that's why we, the spirit of Antichrist is the instead of. He set up an instead of government. So his government was here, is here, still is here, but it's a losing government. It's on the way out, and God's government's already working. And God's government increase, Satan's government is what?
It's on the decrease.
It's decrease.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to be careful of our theology and listening to too many people that slyly, and they don't mean to, but they slyly tell you, well, God's government's going to disappear. And Satan's government is going to increase to the point of the one world government going to take over the whole world. Well, that's quite an increase. That's quite an influence. It says, listen.
Pretty big.
This says the government's on Jesus' shoulders, but we don't give him any credit. But when we give it to the devil, the devil's got, if you listen to the teaching they give, all power. You can't buy. You can't sell. You got to have the mark of the beast. And if you do receive God or believe in that, they'll kill you. Well, that's a powerful government that you can't even go grocery shopping without this guy. But now the government's on his shoulders, and what do we? And nothing. See, we're not, as a church or as leaders or pastors or churches, we're not expressing to the world, hey, the government's on his shoulders. It's a government of increase. So we, with our faith, we do nothing. That's why more faith, more life.
More life.
Right? But people do nothing. They don't respond to it. They're so busy waiting for the devil to take over the world and how they're going to get out and escape that and what they're going to do. They don't realize that government, God's government is operation right now, and it's a government of increase. So that's the secret I wanted people to know, because they're neglecting to be a citizen of God's government, just like we're a citizen of our government here.
Right.
But God's government is a government, Kathy, of increase. So you want to get yourself, you know, you want to, as you're saying, to get, if you got confusion, if there's disorder in your house, it's not God's government.
That's right. And that's a good clue for within marriages and families and everywhere you go. If you're bringing confusion or you find yourself in an atmosphere of confusion, then does that mean then God's not authoring your life?
No, he's not the author of confusion, that's for sure.
Right. So who's writing your story, I guess?
Yeah, who's writing your story is very good.
Yeah.
A good way to say it. And, you know, we met people along the way, too, that in church, trying to read their Bible, trying to go to church, trying to tie. And then they'd say something that just the devil probably loved to hear. They'd say, well, I just don't understand. I don't understand what's going on.
I'm so confused.
You've heard that so much, right?
Oh, so much.
I'm so confused. I tithe. I'm so confused. I go to church, but it's not. And we're going like, first thing, stop saying you're confused. Because you're just telling me you're not in God's kingdom, because there is no confusion.
Yes.
You're confused, but that's not God. It's not God.
Yes.
So, and how do you get yourself out of that confusion? You got to place yourself under the government of God purposely, on purpose. Because you remember Paul wrote, was it Thessalonians? He said he said lawlessness is already in the world. You don't have to start it. You can get it. It's here. What do you think? Maybe right. Try to describe. What do you think? Yeah. What's lawlessness?
Lawlessness
what's
would
you?
Be
just you. Just to you. What do I mean?
Well, I think when I think I can make up my own mind and kind of push my way through, or when I hear the Holy Spirit and He says, "Don't say that," or "Don't think that," and then I choose. That lawlessness, I choose, well, wait, God's law, you know, I can squeak by that. I don't have to forgive, for instance,
right.
and taking the commands of the Word of God, even just, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But when a person chooses to not trust in the Lord, but trust in themselves, and they make up their own rules, how to live their life and think and not trust Him, then that's lawlessness, isn't
would
it?
You, yes, and would you say that we live today in a high stress, very stressful culture and society?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Like most, you'll hear this phrase, preachers say it too, like we're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We're the most blessed nation. We have the most powerful military. I hope we still do. You hear stuff like that. We're the most blessed nation on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But we're also the most unhappy and the most stressful. And the most angry,
yes.
And the most offended. So, God's government obviously is not in operation, especially it should be in churches and should be in Christians' lives, but it's not. And so,
that's right.
So when we see that, so now let's make our first conclusion,
right.
One of our conclusions.
Yes.
Well, one of our first conclusion, I want to say it's a kingdom of increase. But the second conclusion is if you're living a life full of stress, which is a very stressful culture we live in today,
Then
you need to get out of that stress, because lawlessness, here's why. This is my definition. Lawlessness is making up the rules as you go along. All right. Now, we think that's freedom. You know, I just make up the rules. I'm free. I make up the rules, whatever I think. But do you know how stressful that is? If when you get up from here and you go to the other room or whatever, and you know, you turn on the TV and you have no laws or you have no morals or you have no boundaries, well, you got a million things on there that you should watch, could watch, shouldn't watch, hope I don't, you don't watch, and you got to go, what am I going to watch? Maybe I'll watch this. Maybe I'll watch that. Maybe I'll go to the internet and watch this. Maybe I'll do that. And you, no, maybe I better. Oh, I don't want to. Then I'll have to ask forgiveness afterwards. Oh, no, I don't want to. Well, maybe I could. And then look at the stress at one decision of whether you should watch that video or not. Not you necessarily, but people under stress.
Oh, no.
Because they're making up the rules
right.
as they go along. And then they falter because they didn't have a rule. They're lawless. They may say, well, I don't know what was wrong with me. I went ahead and did that stupid. I said that stupid thing. I watched that stupid thing. I shouldn't have done that. But if you go by what's already set and you're not lawless. Mm-hmm. So lawlessness is making up the rules as you go along, even though you may know what the rule is. Now get this. You already know this. The Bible says, thou shalt not, you can pick one. I pick steal, because that's the best one to use as an example. Does the Bible say you shouldn't steal?
Okay? Yes, it does. Yeah.
Now, if we go and take a survey, now we're going to go to the church folks who are supposed to be following the Bible and God's kingdom and all that stuff. We'll go to the church folks and ask them this question. You already know the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? You
yes.
shouldn't steal. But you go to the church folks and say, but what would you do? What if your children were starving? Is it okay? Or would you, even though if you say it's not okay, would you steal food? If you felt your children were starving, would you steal to feed your children? You already know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah. Most will say, you bet I will.
Yeah, bet they will.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
now, you go back to the original folks in the New Testament. You go back to a Peter or James or
right.
John. They are learning their lessons. Or Paul, they're learning their lessons. Or the Marys or whatever. I think they would say, no, I will not. And why do you not have to say yes? It's an irrelevant question. Because people who are on the increase in God's government will never have their children begging bread or not have enough. So in other words, you say, well, if your children were starving, would you go and steal to feed them. They're going to say yes. Most everybody's going to say yes. But me, I'm going to say no. You know why? Because I don't have to go steal. I just got to go to God. And how many times have we said, when Jesus said, when you pray, pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, why would I go steal then if I can go to God and say, give us this day our daily bread and let God do what he does and give me the increase of what I don't have? But people don't think like that. So the situation ethics is it wrong to steal? What they're going to say is, well, it depends on the situation. Right?
Yeah.
It depends. If you see a bunch of money and you can't pay your light bill and all of a sudden there's some money and you think, I think that person up there dropped it, but that $1,000 they dropped, I just found $1,000 in a wallet. Ugh, my lights are turned off. I'm afraid I'll keep it. Even though it says who it belongs to in that wallet, it's got a name and everything. What would I do? I'm going to go find that
person.
You're
going to find that person.
And have the joy of returning a fortune to somebody.
That's right.
Because I don't need to steal their money. Why would I steal their money? I don't need it. I'm on the increase, you see?
Yeah, you're under his government.
Yes, but I've placed myself under his government.
His government.
And so I wasn't going to mention this scripture because I think we got some other scriptures, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. I mentioned it Sunday. So remember the guy in the Bible, he's a centurion. He's a Roman soldier, centurion, high up.
Yes.
He'd be a high up guy. Mm-hmm. And but he came to Jesus and told him that his servant was home sick and dying. And Jesus said, well, do you want me to go to your house and heal him? And the centurion, who's a Roman, he's not Jewish, he's not a believer like us. Who knows what pagan ideas he had. But he said, no, there's no reason for you to go to my house. He understood authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. I just say go and they go. Do this and they do that. And he said, so just say the word and my servant will be healed. You don't have to go there because you have authority. You just say, healing, go. And it goes. So Jesus marveled. He said, I never seen anything like this before. A Roman that understands how this kingdom works with authority. You see?
Yes.
In authority. You're under authority. But the centurion then gave us the clue. He said, I myself am a man of authority. But I am also a man under authority. So because he's under authority, he gets to have authority. So if I place myself under the authority of God and his government, and I mean do it on purpose, not just, well, I just believe it is a fact. Nope, I'm going to take time. I'm going to place in my heart, in my mind, in my prayers, in my confession. I am placing myself under the government of God. I am not going to say depends on the situation. God's word is God's word. It stays true, and I don't have to bend it, break it, or twist it because I'm under God's government. You see?
Yes.
So therefore, if I place myself under, what's going to happen then? The benefit of it. I get to also be over.
Blessed and over.
So therefore, when the powers of darkness try to kick me around, or principalities and powers and the powers in dark places, they start coming in. Well, how many people, even church folks, go and they try to cast the devil out, or they try to say, you'll not harm my children, you'll not bother, you're not going to get my money, and they'll say all this stuff, and nothing happens. You know why? Because they're not under authority. They're not under God's authority. They're trying to be the authority.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And we're not the authority.
No.
And so we place ourselves under God's authority. Then, once I get under, then I also get to be over. Now, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Cast the devil out, right? No, you'll tread on serpents and no power be able to hurt you. Well, that's just talk for most people because they haven't placed themselves under the government of God. And they actually, most people are lawless. They make up the rules as they go along.
Yes.
And what stress is that? Stressful, stressful. Stressful. Let's talk one more scripture. I think we got time. I want you to talk about this one. So this Paul wrote to help us understand the government of God. He wrote that no soldier operates under their own authority.
That's right.
But lives to serve and
please
the commanding officer.
Yes.
And so I important. Like one version says, no soldier gets entangled.
Yes.
Yeah, let's picture that for just a second. Talk about that and picture entanglement.
Well, you know, if you're entangled, you eventually can't move. And you've trapped yourself. So if you're entangled with the world and its lawlessness, well, lawlessness stops you. It stops your spiritual growth and your joy, and it stops your success, and it robs you of your authority because you're entangled in that world, and the world is lawless, and the world does not want God's kingdom increasing around it. So if you're involved with the world as a soldier, well, then that's totally contrary to being in the military, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then therefore you live like, I'm not pleasing God. Well, of course you're not.
Yeah.
Because you're all bound up and you can't let that government and his authority increase over you so that you can move in authority and succeed in everything. And again, like you're saying, that brings in chaos and confusion and a lot of frustration. So that's what it means to me. You know, you look at our military, the United States military, you're supposed to be under the commander in chief, and then everything flows with that, and then you succeed.
Yeah, the real military, if you do it right, some people go National Guard or whatever, but just the regular military. You know, we have guys and gals in our church that go, and they go to boot camp and all that, and they come back weeks later, their heads are shaved, they got a uniform on, they're standing at attention. They don't even realize they're standing at attention in our service.
That's right.
We're standing, and they're standing at attention. They don't even realize they're standing at attention. But they got disentangled. They give you clothes. You don't wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
Your hair looks different. You take orders. You do what you're told. And so that's the problem with most people, why they can't get the increase. Everybody wants, I mean, people want to increase. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking in every area. You want to increase your relationship. How about just increase in joy? How just increase in just peace, increase in finances, increase in just that satisfaction that you're not just always yearning or anxious or upset or mad or like feeling like you fail all the time.
Yeah,
all those things all that everybody goes through. You disentangle yourself from that and place yourself under the government of God on purpose, in prayer, on purpose, in devotion, under his government. And you say it, confess it. I'm under God's government. I am under the shoulder. They're on his shoulders, Jesus' shoulders. But it is an increasing kingdom. That's why I can call for the increase, Kathy, because I am in a kingdom of increase. But I've also disentangled myself from what's running everybody else's life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, disentangled personal opinion or disentangled them from fear. Everybody's got fears. They're running by their fears. Disentangled because they're angry. Disentangled, or they're entangled because they have unforgiveness. I just disentangle myself from all that stuff and put myself under his government, because in his government there's no unforgiveness.
No.
There's no fear in God's government. There's just increase all around us. And so I'm going to place myself. That's why I'm telling you, it's a secret. It's not a secret, but it's a secret to most people.
Yeah.
They don't realize how important this is. You know, one of the pictures I get of entanglement, I'll show my age. You might be able to remember. Most of the other guys working over there, they won't. They'd have to go look at it online to see it. Do you remember when there was a Berlin Wall?
Yes, I do.
And after World War II, they divided up Berlin, and which I don't know if that was wise or not, but anyway. And all of a sudden, then the Soviet Union put up a wall, just bang. Next thing they woke up, if you were on in East Berlin, I think it is, to have the right side, you're stuck. You could not go out. It doesn't matter if your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife was on the other side of the wall. When that wall goes up, you can't go. Well, then they put barbed wire there, too. They put a wire before the wall.
Yeah.
And you ever remember those terrible, awful, awful film clips of people trying to get out because their loved ones were on the other side? And they'd run full speed trying to get through the barbed wire, trying to hop over. And, man, when they hit that, remember, it would just wham, completely entangle them.
Yeah. Yes.
And they die. They either shoot them or they just die hanging there. They just leave them there. So entangled. And I see, that's how I feel like people, they're running and then wham, they get stopped by circumstances or fears or situations or the way they were raised or somebody hurt their feelings or whatever. So what I try to do is stay disentangled from all of that, confidently place myself under God's government. And when you do that, Kathy, then when you do that, we got some things here. You got it. God has a government.
Yes.
I have a little list here, folks, for her. So I put down on that paper that God has a government. First thing, there is a government.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, then what I do, I put myself in there because it is a government of what?
Increase.
It's a government of increase. God's government will bring success. Let's talk about that real quick before we end. Remember that
I have a tickle in my throat. I'm so sorry.
You want me to talk?
Yeah,
while
please talk.
Well, here, you need a little cough drop there if you want. Yeah, do it. And so when we get there, there's a great scripture, you know, the Lord talks about, you know, if we'll follow him and pay attention to what he's saying and doing, says what? The Lord will bless you in all you do, and he'll bless you in everything you put your hand to do. That's increase. So whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to succeed at your business. You want to get out of your job and start your own business. You want to be a successful dad. You want to be a teacher, whatever success you want to do. God says, whatever, if you'll do my way, if you'll do things my way, that's why we got Bibles, and learn my ways, I will make you successful in everything you do. Everything you put your hand to do will succeed eventually.
Yes.
And so it's a kingdom. There is a king. There is a government. It's on the shoulders of Jesus. You need to get under that government. Don't put it on your shoulders. Get it under that government, right? It's a government of increase. It'll bring success. And then lastly, it'll end lawlessness. You're not lawless, which is very stressful to be lawless because you got to make up you got to test your feelings every day. How do I feel right now? Mm-hmm. I'll let you know how I feel later. You know, do you want to go? I don't want to commit. I'll let you know how I feel later. So you got to always, you're always making up your mind about something, you know. But let God's word take you into his government. What do you think about that?
I agree.
Did you get your voice back?
No.
So
sorry, everyone.
So it's on me now.
The government of this podcast
is now on my shoulders.
On your shoulders.
To help us get out of
completely.
It. Well, these are great. So it's such a simple thing. People are making a mistake constantly. They're doing self-rule, lawless living, just making up the rules as they go along, whatever they feel like as they go. Oh, yeah, that other scripture in the book of Judges, the last line of book of Judges says, in that day there was no judge. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Failure. You can't increase if you're the government. You can't increase. So that's my word today. It's a great kingdom. It's a great government, but it's practical. It's practical. It's not just stop just going to church. Get under this government and let him increase you. Well, tell your friends about More Faith, More Life, because everything in here is obviously we're not trying to soothe you. I'm not trying to make you feel better. I'm trying to make you change and be successful. And you add your faith now to what we said today. Get rid of lawlessness. Get disentangled. Add your faith to those words. Everything we said, the government increase, believe it. Add your faith to it, and it'll produce more life. So quickly now, tell somebody about this week, you know. Holiday time, you got more time to be online. Tell them about More Faith, More Life. It'll help them succeed and grow. Be sure and go and get our materials. If You Only Knew, you got to get that book, all the other materials there. Even there's a CD there, I think they can get of me singing. So glad. I hope that you're having a great life and you take these things and increase and increase and increase in the government of God. Till next time. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. I've coughed before.